And a good Thursday afternoon to you, and welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio, brought to you by our great sponsors, Exchange Bank, Gerber Electric, Taco John's, and Hamada Wealth Management. Tom Counts and Gus Counts with you, and Gus, great weekend this weekend of high school football on Care Radio, but Saturday's a little bit light. Tomorrow night, we're going to be down at Guy Galley Field. It is homecoming 2021 for the Ravens, and Marhabout Academy playing host to an old conference opponent back in the day of Nemaha Central coming to town. Should be a really good one there. Saturday is the open date for Benedictine in the middle of the schedule as the conference will shift from out of division play to in division play. We'll be talking about that. So for the Ravens, a day off. No game for Benedictine on Saturday. Welcome back again. And, wow, guys, last weekend, some great high school football games going on around the area. And you and I got to go out to Effingham, Kansas, and see the renewal of an old, longtime rivalry in the home team coming out on top. Tigers winning that one.
Yeah, ECC just snapping a little bit of a streak against Moore Hill Mount Academy. They've struggled over the last handful of years, but got everything on the right foot Friday night, and man, that Tiger offense looked about spot on the other night, right?
I thought they did a great job. You know, MHMA brings some big, strong guys and some very good athletes in there, but the Tigers were able to run the football and move the football, I thought, pretty well, and on their way to rolling up 42 points in a 42-29 win.
Yeah, and for ACCHS, first time they're going to win at least a share of the Northeast Kansas League, so hats off to those guys.
We got to see Pleasant Ridge already this year, time or two. You know what? They are legitimate. They are good. Shutting out McLeod 50-0 last week. Pleasant Ridge, the only road team in the conference to come up with a W. And hey, you better be ready to play when Pleasant Ridge comes.
Yeah, I think we saw Pleasant Ridge a couple times this year. We saw them in back-to-back weeks and look like completely different teams both weeks, right? I think against ACCHS, they got a little bit of a wake-up call, and we're able to kind of readdress. And I think the Tigers exploited some of Pleasant Ridge's weaknesses, so I think that they were able to go back to the drawing board, and Coach Fitz was able to, you know, kind of shore up some of those things, and they look like they've been a different team ever since that game. So, you know, right now they have things moving well. How about Jackson Heights? The Cobras home last Friday night as they knocked off Troy 38-15. It was Centralia beating JCN 20-6 in that ball game. Horton, They had the lead there for a while, but just couldn't overtake Central Heights as Central Heights comes away with a 33-20 victory. And how about Rossville? 62-0 over Oskaloosa. So, handful of great games going on around the Northeast Kansas League last week. And again, it's kind of funny because we get to the point where as you get into districts with these, I call them expanded districts, you have fewer conference games. So, again, you see some of these out-of-conference games like Rossville, Silver Lake sprinkled in there. You're going to see, Jackson Heights get Olpe, you know, this week. So a lot of those other teams we're not used to seeing week in and week out.
Okay, that brings me to a quick question as we're going along here on Sports Look this evening. You talk about with district play, and the districts are expanded, and we're going to talk about the new district assignments here shortly, but and you don't get to play. In the old days, you played everybody in the conference. You don't get to do that anymore. So are the conferences worthless? Is there a reason for there to be conferences today?
I would say in football, not really. I mean, other than trying to fill out your schedule. And then the problem with that becomes if you have a rivalry that was like an out-of-conference rivalry, all of a sudden that game kind of gets lost. It's like Baker and Ottawa in football over the years. That used to be a game. Now it just doesn't work. So, again, I think that districts are important. League play is not as important when it comes to football.
There you go. Well, how about the KCAL where Atchison, another big win. Dane went down to Turner, knocking off the Golden Bears 45-12. Coach Smith has his offense really geared up right now.
Yeah, Atchison, you know, 2 weeks in a row putting up big numbers. What, 70 last week, 45, or 70 the week before, 45 last week. So all of a sudden, this offense seems like, you know, we saw them in that very first game against Lafayette. I think they kind of figured out, you know, where their holes were, kind of figures up some things, firmed up their lineup, and all of a sudden, Coach Smith has that offense rolling pretty well. And I think maybe the thing that we kind of leave out, because we talk about the offenses because they're so fun to watch, how about that defense, right? You know, only giving up 12 points over the last two games. So, you know, hats off to those guys.
Sumner blanked Schlegel in their game. It was one and top, a close win over Washington. Harmon threw in the towel.
Yeah, Harmon's game was canceled last week. So, that brings us to games going on this weekend. Sumner will be at Atchison, a lot at stake there. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. Washington at Baser, Harmon at Wyandotte, Schlegel will be at Wamego. You take a look at the standings in the Kansas City Atchison League, you find out on top the Atchison High Phoenix. And again, when it comes to league play, Atchison has really done well over the years in this Kansas City Atchison League ever since they've gone here. Okay, so in the league, Atchison 2-0, 4-1 overall, taking on Sumner, who is 2-1, Washington 2-1, you've got Harmon 0-1, Wyandotte 1-2, and Schlegel at 0-2 in the league. Moving down to games going on this weekend in the Northeast Kansas League.
How about that? You got the Tigers going up to Riverside. Can't believe we're going to talk about districts, and Riverside is going to drop to a 1A school next year. How about that? Nemaha at MHMA, the game that we'll have here on Care Radio. It'll be Jackson Heights going down to Olpie. You mentioned it's going to be Eagles Cobras there. Pleasant Ridge travels to Rossville, and we'll find out how good the Rams actually are. It'll be Jeff North at Wabunsee. Silver Lake is going to host McLeod. Oh, my goodness. Horton travels to Centralia, and in a very long conference schedule, it's Mission Valley at Oskaloosa. But again, all of those conference games, there are no two conference teams playing one another right here. Are there? I don't think so.
Nope.
So there you have it. Crazy. Again, the leagues, what are they going to do?
Taking a look at District 3 standings in Class 2A, you've got Rossville and Silver Lake, both at 2-0, Pleasant Ridge at 2-0. Now, Rossville and Silver Lake have pointed out each week at 42-42. You've got Pleasant Ridge at 2-0, plus 27. You have Mission Valley, McLeod, and Oskaloosa. All three of those are 0-2. Mission Valley is the minus 27. You've got Oskaloosa and McLeod at the minus 42 points apiece.
And unfortunately, I mean, those guys are pretty much all out of the running. You hate to throw in the towel this early, but with a combined 0-13, you know, it's going to be tough for any of them.
Taking a look at District 4, you have St. Mary's in Republic County at both 2-0. You've got Nemaha Central at 1-1, ACCHS at 1-1. Now, the points, you've got Riverside and Morehill Mount Academy at 0-2. But let's look at the points. You've got St. Mary's, who's at 39 points. Isn't that weird that nobody's pointed out
every week? No one has maxed out.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Silver, you've got, sorry, St. Mary's at 39 points, Republic County at plus 31. You've got the tie in second place with Nemaha Central and ACCHS at 1-1, but Nemaha gets a slight edge there as they are plus 2. ACCHS, though, only minus 7. Riverside struggling a little bit. They are negative 31 points, and Morehill Mount Academy at minus 34 in district play.
Yeah, so it's
there's a whole lot of things going on
there's
there.
There's
a lot to digest right there.
A lot of numbers, a lot of things to talk about. By the way, just real quickly, across the state, leaders in the other districts, District 1, Colgan and Riverton. You got Osage City, Wellsville, and Humboldt atop District 2. You go to 5, it's Hillsborough and Hutch Trinity. And then you've got Kingman and Chaparral. You got Cimarron and TMP and Lakin out west with Beloit and Hoisington in District 8. Some real familiar names as we go through that list.
Drop down to Class 1A, District 2. You've got Centralia out on top at 4-0, JCN at 2-1, Wabunsee at 2-1, Jackson Heights at 2-2. Then you go to Troy at 1-2, Valley Heights at 1-3, and Horton at 0-3. In district play.
Yeah, the big difference makers that game this weekend with JCN and Wabunsee. Not only are they tied for second place, but they are at 27 to 26 points apiece. So, I mean, that thing is a razor thin.
Again, we talk about it's all about the points this time of the year. Now, we're talking about districts, and everybody's grown used to these districts, right?
Yeah.
You ready to scrap them?
Yeah, because there are going to be brand new ones coming out. How about that?
Isn't that a little odd that, you know, we're starting to talk about the 2022 and 2023 football districts because the other day the new classifications came out and we kind of found out where the teams are going to fall. And, of course, it means realignment. So, Atchison, of course, will stay in Class 4A and be on the east. That was easy enough. Class 3A District 4 will see Holton, Royal Valley, Jeff West, Perry LeCompton, and why not sprinkle in Hayden?
Sure.
Right? Then you drop down to Class 3A District 5 has Hiawatha, Marysville, Rock Creek, Concordia, Clay Center. Right? Like, that's geographically sound. Okay, now drop down to Class 2A District 3, and a little close to home right here. In Class 2A District 3, you're going to see Morehill Mount Academy, Pleasant Ridge, ACCHS, Rossville, Silver Lake.
Yes. Yes, that's going to be a quality, let's call it a very high quality district.
Yes, so if you're Morehill Mount Academy in ACCHS, you're saying, okay, we're going to get a new team in here, and then you realize it's going to be Silver Lake and Rossville, right? Now you drop down to Class 2A District 4. So District 3 will end up playing District 4 when it all shakes back out towards playoffs. So District 4 has Horton, Minneapolis, Riley County, Sabetha, and Nemaha Central. Class 1A District 3 has Mission Valley, McLouth, Oskaloosa, St. Mary's, who drops down, Valley Falls jumps back up to 11-man football, and JCM. There's a whole lot going on there, right?
Yeah.
You have a team dropping from 2 to 1. You have a team that's going up from 8-man to 11-man again.
And, of course, in a District 4 in 1A, familiar group with Riverside, Troy, Onega, Jackson Heights, Centralia. That one hardly has changed, I think.
Well,
except Troy.
Other than the fact that now Onega, you're going to have to jump back up to 11-man football. And you think about like a Valley Falls and an Onega who have, you know, just kind of started getting used to that whole 8-man football thing, and now all of a sudden jumping back up to 11-man, it's just, you know, you think it's tough for the fans, it's tough for the coaches. It's also tough on the grounds crew, right? Because the field gets a little bigger. You got to remember how you stripe it each week. So
now, one last thing, and then we're going to wrap up our first segment because we're already pretty long. But I got to talk about mixed, beginning with next year, State of Kansas is giving the big thumbs up and hunky-dory with six-player football. I don't even call it six-man. It's six-player football. And there are going to be four districts with, you know, six-player football, and mostly small schools out west. You know, District 1 is Buffalo, Chautauqua, Leroy, Center, Peabody, Waverly, Wetmore. Wetmore.
Okay. So my question then for you is, since we're going, you've got 11, 8, 6.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, something's got to budge, right? Eight-man or eight-player football probably at some point drops to six. Maybe. I mean, I just feel like now there's too many.
And I don't know how you come up with the eight-player and the six-player designations because, you know, the popular thing is 7-on-7. Maybe they should forget
split the difference at seven. Yeah, I mean, and that may be where you end up. But
I'm going to take. I would like to see a six-man, six-player game.
Ooh.
Just to see it. I just want to see, 200 points rolled up in a ball game.
Yeah, you probably would. Yes. So
anyway, it's all really cool. It's all really interesting and kind of fun to talk about. We'll be looking more at that as next year comes around. And again, pick out your favorite high school. A lot of games going on this weekend. We'll be back. We've got lots of stuff to talk about as Sport Look continues here on CARE. Good to have you back with us here on Sports Look on CARE Radio as the Benedictine Ravens, Gus, another tremendous outing last Saturday. We were with them up at Wilcox Stadium as Benedictine rolls again. And the offense has kind of found the range. And, this team is starting to get a little respect.
Yeah, I think early on, you know, we set high standards, right? I think early on we expected to just see the offense come out and not miss a beat. But the problem is, You had a lot of different players that you were trying to get seeded in. You've got a lot of freshmen that are playing. You've also got a brand new offense that you're installing. And so a lot of moving pieces. And the Ravens seem like now they're starting to get comfortable with it. Kettle seems like he understands where the ball needs to be at what time. I mean, he's learning to step up. Early on, let's go back to that William Penn game. In that game, we saw Garrett run the ball probably an uncomfortable amount of times, at least for me. And now we're starting to see him on those plays where normally he would run. He's just stepping up into the pocket and throwing the football. And all of a sudden, now you're seeing his numbers get better. You're seeing the offense's numbers get better. And everything adds up right now. And the Ravens now look like a team like, okay.
But it doesn't mean the Garrett's not willing to run the ball. He did have a 65-yard touchdown run.
Yeah,
of course,
no, I mean, and that's what I'm saying is he's learning when to run the ball versus just scrap the offense, let's go and start running the ball, right? I think the other thing is he's starting to get a little more confidence in the offense. Once you understand what the whole idea of the offense is and you start to get comfortable in it, now you understand how the offense is supposed to work.
Now, that said, this Heart of America Athletic Conference, with the week off this week, it's going into divisional play, the super, super important games, as if they all weren't already. But with that said, these teams have begun to find their stride, some of them. Offensively, last week, four of the six winning teams scored 56 or more.
Yeah, and most of those points were given up by the North Division, right? Culver gives up 65. Graceland gives up 58. Clark gives up 56. I mean, Evangel loses to Peru in what turned out to be a tight game and just an ugly all-around game because of, you know, delays and things like that. The other great game was Central Methodist, who, you know, they're flying high right now and probably not happy to see the bye come up because Central Methodist is a team who's won some games. They feasted on that North Division a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, Central Methodist is going to be Benedictine's next opponent coming up next weekend. So we'll be thinking about that, keeping an eye on that as we move forward in the conference. But anyway, that all said, BC, a great win in an open weekend, you know, divisional play is huge. You look at the conference standings right quick. In the North, well, really in either one, there's no surprises. Grandview is on top of the North at 6-0. Behind them, Culver and Peru at 4-2. 1-5 is William Penn. And you got Clark and Graceland looking for a W.
Okay, here's the question.
Sure.
Until the playoffs, does the team get within three touchdowns of Grandview? And I'm talking in the second half.
Right, because I'm just looking up and down. Culver, maybe the only one that'll be halfway close. Otherwise, yeah, probably not.
No.
So what that means is Granby, who's number four in the nation right now, will end the season no worse than that, probably up a spot or two.
Yeah, so, okay, so they're four. They'll go up to three because at some point Morningside has to play Northwestern. I'm going to say it. Grandview ends the year at two.
Yeah.
Right? I just don't see Lindsey Wilson losing here on out.
You go to the South Division of the Heart of America Athletic Conference, where Baker is the 5-1 team, followed very closely by Benedictine and Central Methodist at 4-2. Evangel and Valley are 3-3. And Mid-America is 2-4. You can just see the difference in the North and South Divisions. They're just stunning.
Yeah. And for Benedictine, they're going to draw one of the tougher tests when they start out this second half because not only playing Central Methodist, who is 4-2, they've got a coaching staff that's been there for a while, right? Callaway has kind of instilled his system, and that's how many times we talk about a program when they struggle, it's because you have so much turnover at the top. Well, that hasn't been the problem with Central Methodist now. They're winning, they're playing really well at home, and I'm telling you, from here on out, we talk about Grandview having a lot of gimmies for Benedictine. They don't have another game.
We'll be back. We've got lots of stuff to talk about as Sport Look continues here on CARE. We've got Dan Neal with us, former Benedictine football player. First of all, Dan, it's great to catch up with you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, we're so glad to have been able to catch up with you. And so let's just start off with, I think, at the beginning, the Dan Neal biography. Where was home originally when you were in high school and so forth and getting ready to come to Benedictine?
Papillion-La Vista in Nebraska.
Okay, so you're a Midwest guy. Papillion, of course, a suburb. I call it a suburb of Omaha. Maybe I hope that's not an insult to a Papillion guy.
No, that's always, a good reference.
Okay, so you obviously high school football guy. How good was your high school football team, man?
Oh, we had a great team. My junior year, we won the state championship, and we were always really good. The Monarchs, Papillion La Vista Monarchs, were always really good.
So you played high school football, and how did you go about ending up at Benedictine? What was the recruiting like? Who called you, talked to you, and such as that?
I wasn't highly touted. believe it or not, I played center and defensive tackle both ways my senior year, and really what led me to Benedictine was my aunt and uncle both worked for the college at the time. So that was really my only option for football. I wasn't highly recruited at all.
Okay, so that brings me to a real interesting thing. I did not realize that on offense in high school, you were a center, because Benedictine fans are going to remember you not as an offensive lineman, but as a tight end. So how in the world do you make a transition from the middle of the offensive line out to the edge?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, when I got to Benedictine, I got beat out my freshman year at center by Travis Erickson. And thanks for that, Travis. And so after that year I played a little bit a position called a herd back, which was sort of like a blocking back out of the backfield. And anyway, Coach Schottel saw some potential in me, I guess, and asked me to make the switch. And I bumped into him one day at Walmart, and he asked me if I could catch, and I said, yeah, I can catch. And the next training camp, I was at tight end and started from there my sophomore year on.
Well, so you were a guy who doesn't mind the contact. I mean, you're going to be an H-back, you're going to be an offensive center, you're going to be a D lineman. So contact is not foreign to you. So as a tight end, it was not, that part of it was not a big deal.
No, in fact, I mean, that really was obviously an asset, knowing how to already block. And then, in youth football, I played a little bit of receiver, so I knew how to catch. So it was sort of like a perfect mesh of the skill set I had.
Danny Neal visiting with us, former Benedictine football player. So Dan, people today think, the tight end becoming a more integral part of the offense and becoming a more of a common receiver and target for the quarterback, they think that's really new. They think that's something that somebody, Andy Reid has dreamed up. But that's not the case, because you are still very high in the record book for receptions and yardage and so forth for Benedictine. So the Ravens were not afraid to throw to the tight end.
No, I mean, since I've been in college, looking up to some of the NFL tight ends that I followed for the Niners, like I was a big Brent Jones fan, and, you had him and Jay Novacek back in the early 90s, and they were excellent receiving tight ends. It's nothing new. It's just, guys get bigger, stronger, and faster is all.
And as a tight end, you've got to really like to see the tight end becoming, and certainly in this Benedictine offense this year, the tight end is a bigger part of that receiving core. So that's got to make you feel kind of good to know that that trend is back again.
Yeah, no, it really is nice to see. And I was able to get back for a game here a few weeks ago, and it is nice to see that. And I love to obviously watch the end of the line of scrimmage to see what's going on in the game.
Tell me about who your quarterbacks were. Who are the guys putting the ball in your hands?
Well, we had a pretty good Nebraska crew when I was there. The quarterback was Dan Van Am. And we had two more Dans from Nebraska, pretty much the Omaha area, Dan Rue and Dan Kinney. And, yeah, and then so and then Dan Van Am left after our sophomore year, and then so we had Billy Lindquist my junior and senior year.
Dan Van Am, number 14, he went on because he changed schools because of his major and his, you know, down-the-road life, which has worked very well for him. But he was a fabulous quarterback. Loved to watch him throw the football, and I'm sure you like seeing him throw the football too.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know, that was quite a move, you know, some foresight on his part to, you know, I think he left after our undefeated season to, you know, further his education somewhere else. But, yeah, he was really missed.
Now, you talk about the undefeated season. We need to talk a little bit about Benedictine playoff football because you have been certainly a part of that. Again, you were classes graduating, what, 96, right? 93 through 6?
Yep.
Okay. So you talk about that undefeated season. People talk about Raven undefeated seasons, and they think of, you know, the 92s and some of those. But we don't get maybe enough credit for this 96 season, the 95 and 96 seasons, because you guys were fantastic. And again, in that 95 season, not only Heart of America Athletic Conference champions, 9-0, but then, you know, you went on to, you know, the national championship in a first-round game here in town.
Yeah, no, and that was, you know, a heartbreaking loss. Yeah, just not a good way to end the season. But, you know, it's hard to win when you're going up some other great teams. So
yeah, well, tell me a little bit.
Run.
Just because they tell me a little bit about that year, because also fans seem to think, you know, at that far back that, you know, the games were all, you know, 10-7 or 6-0. But at that point in time, Benedictine, you were scoring 43, 56, 41, 56, 43. You know, you're in the upper 20s and mid 50s every week. That offense could put points on the board.
Yeah, no, we had a great offensive line and some really good skill positions. And, you know, the defense and special teams, you know, contributed a lot also. So, I mean, when you're working with all three facets of the game, you can put up a lot of points.
Tell me about some of your teammates from that team. Any particular guys that you remember, you know, whether fellow offensive linemen, running backs, D guys, you know, any of them, you know, that kind of stand out that you say, yeah, that was a great guy or a great football player or both?
Oh, I mean, there's so many great players that came through and that I got to play with, you know, some really good running backs and fullbacks, offensive. I mean, I just can't name a few names because there's so many.
And again, the defense also outstanding because they were holding teams to, you know, 6-8. Held William Jewell, beat them, Jewell, 43-8 to start that season. How early in that year did you know you were going to be really good? I mean, you get that big win against a always good Jewell team. Did you know right then this was a special team?
Yeah, you know, I think every year under Coach Wilcox and staff, I mean, you felt like you were going to have a great year. But you were always so well prepared and ready to go. You know, they really just had a machine going. So, I mean, I guess, you know, it wasn't just that one win, but it was all the hard work and all the things that we did that led up to the season that, you know, you have the feeling you're going to be good from just even the previous years, and it just keeps going, you know.
And then in your senior year, the 96 year, Ravens turn right around and have another fantastic season, another NAIA appearance. That time, we had a tough draw as went over to Lambeau over in Tennessee and played the number 3 team in the country, and Ravens represented themselves very well. But that Tennessee trip was against a great team and ended another fantastic senior season.
Yeah, no, and then we just sort of ran into a buzzsaw there. I mean, it's a really good opponent, and, you know, you look back on it and wish you had more success in the playoffs. You know, there was anything I could change about my career is that, you know, I wish we had gotten past a few of those first-round playoff games, but, you know, it is what it is. So.
And you played such good teams. I mean, at that time, you were playing teams like Evangel. They were, you know, number 10, 11 in the country. You're playing a nationally ranked Graceland team. You played Mid-America. They were nationally ranked. I mean, this conference was
Baker,
great.
Yep.
Year in
and
a year out.
Baker was always in there.
Yep, absolutely. So you guys had to really be battling. I mean, every week getting ready for another who's going to be a really, really good opponent.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, Coach Wilcox and staff always had a good game plan, and, you know, we scripted all our initial plays, and, you know, it was always really well prepared.
Okay, tell me, you talked about the scripting. Were the first, what, 5 plays, 10 plays? I mean, was there, how far down the line did you have those predetermined plays?
I can't remember if there, I know the whole first series was scripted, but I don't remember if there was like a set number of plays, but yeah, the first several plays of a game we knew what we were running.
And of course, you know, you guys worked on those and you wanted to jump out and have that big first leap on that opponent and scripted him to work on that, I'm sure.
Yep. For sure.
So now, people may not realize that I'm imposing on you at home here this evening as we're putting this together. And you know, you have moved from the Midwest. A lot of guys have gone East Coast, but you, Dan, have gone West Coast. Kind of update us with what kind of things you do, what your career is today.
Yeah, so when I got married, my wife's family lived out here on the West Coast, so that's sort of what got me away from the heartland. I sure do miss the Midwest and the weather changes there and things of that nature. But yeah, I've done a few different things throughout the years, but I'm in sales for a large company here in Northern California right now and doing pretty well.
You probably don't miss, you know, the overcoats and the galoshes too much, though.
No, I can. I do not miss ice scrapers or negative degree weather.
You got,
not at all.
You got any youngsters?
I've got 3 kids. My oldest just left for college this fall. And then I've got a 16-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son.
Awesome. Athletes, any?
Not football, but yeah.
Okay. No, it doesn't have to be football.
I've got a water polo player and a year-round swimmer.
Now, the old joke with water polo is, how do you keep the horse from drowning? But that's not the same at all.
This is my first go-around with water polo. It's been pretty interesting. It's a pretty vicious sport.
And I would think that having to be a bit of a chip off the old block, you've got to be very athletic to be in the water all that time. I mean, the resistance, the work, I mean, the physical requirements of that have got to be just crazy.
Yeah, no, and very often both of your hands are out of the water, so you're only using your legs, you know, so it's crazy.
Benedictine doing well, certainly with recruiting and bringing in, you know, athletes and bringing in a ton of students. And, you know, with that in mind, a lot of them, and you got to get back here. You got to see what the campus looks like. Had you been back very recently prior to your getting back earlier this year?
I had seen the new stadium before, but, yeah, the growth with the campus and the student population is just amazing.
Now, were you a Newman resident?
I was.
I figured it. You probably were a Newman guy. I get that. Most of them were. And you know, let's say there's a young person, and you said you've just got your eldest has gone on to college. They're going to look at you and say, "Hey, you know, you you've been through college, you've got a career, and things are going well. What kind of advice would you give a young person who's getting ready to go to school? Maybe going to be an athlete, but not necessarily so. Reflecting on what you have learned and what you've been able to take away, what kind of advice might you share?
You know, it's funny because my son asked me that before he left. He said, "Dad, do you have any advice for me?" And I gave him probably different advice than I'd give anyone else, but I guess just, you know, really just follow your gut instinct, and, you know, I think ultimately you're going to land where God wants you to be.
Dan, I really appreciate your time. Dan Neal, former member of the Benedictine football team, class of 96. You had a great career at BC, both, I know, academically and athletically, and we appreciate your taking some time. Hope that things continue to go well for you and your family. Dan, go Ravens!
Go Ravens. Thanks so much, Tom.
Good to have you back with us here on Sports Look, here radio. And Gus, rapid fire, we got a lot of things to cover, like Kansas City Chiefs. We like talking about them, and they had a great outing. Andy Reid becomes the first coach to have a second team that he's won 100 games with. This, the Chiefs defeated his old team, the Eagles. It's kind of interesting how that worked out.
Yeah, Kansas City beats Philadelphia 42-30. They looked pretty good along the way. The defense maybe looked a little improved, but you say that, and yet they gave up 30 points to a not very good Philadelphia team. You know, I think things are starting to move the right direction, and should be a lot of fun Sunday evening.
Yeah, and there's when it is because the Chiefs are going to be at home Sunday evening. It's a 7:20 ball game, as they will be hosting the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills are a little resurgent at 3-1.
Yeah, the Bills playing good football at 3-1. Josh Allen really has them rolling. 56.5 is the over-under. I would say way over that with these two quarterbacks Sunday night, and both defenses not very good. And for Kansas City, you know, might as well roll that sports car out, because they're going to have Josh Gordon active for this game on Sunday evening.
Does he play? I know he's active, but does he play? And then the B half of that is, does he catch a pass?
Yeah, so he plays.
Uh-huh.
I give him 2 catches.
Oh, 17 yards?
I was going to say 2 catches for 56.
Oh.
Like, because here's the problem with Josh Gordon. He's a burner. He's a deep play guy. He's kind of like a younger version of a Sammy Watkins, right? Like a guy who can go down the field and really get that contested ball. Again, 2 catches, you know, somewhere around that 60-ish yards. No touchdowns, though.
Tonight, you get to see the Thursday night game, and you actually get to see the Thursday night game.
You see it, yeah. Isn't that great?
You don't have to have a satellite or cable. You can actually pick it up on air there on Fox. It'll be the Rams at the Seahawks tonight. Rams are a 2.5-point favorite, so
that
could be a good game.
Yeah, you talk about good football. I mean, Rams and Seahawks should be a fun one, and I think that's why, you know, like the first 3 weeks of the NFL season or 4 weeks, those games were on NFL Network, because nobody outside of those towns wanted to watch any of those games, right? There was not a Thursday night game that you sat there and said, man, I really wish I could watch Bengals and Jaguars last week,
yeah.
Right? Like, you didn't. And so, anyway, this is going to be on Fox, and, yeah, it should be a real good, fun game.
Good games going on in the NFL next week. We'll have the Browns at the Chargers. Both of those teams are just pretty good. Both of those teams are going to be in the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, I think that's one of those games that you have to watch, because you're going to get a real feel for how both of those teams stack up. You got the Browns who run the ball really well. You've got the Chargers who throw the ball really well, and yeah, the Sunday 3:05 game, if you're looking for something Sunday afternoon to try to tide you over to the Chiefs game, that's definitely going to be it.
Monday night, you got Colts and Ravens. I can't imagine that this is anywhere near close. They've got Baltimore as a -7, and they...
What, Baltimore?
Oh.
Right? Yeah. Ravens, yeah, Colts,
yeah,
you know?
I hear you.
Ravens, -7.
Okay, there you go.
I can't imagine it's going to be that close.
No, and here's the deal. The Colts have a real problem happening right now, because they're struggling right now. They're 1-3. If Carson Wentz plays like 70% of the snaps, their first-round pick goes to Philadelphia. If he plays less than 70% of the snaps, then it turns into like a conditional third-round pick or something, right? I'm telling you,
they pull him.
The Colts are going to get to a point in the season where it's like, we're going to be a top five pick anyway, so we're going to go ahead and sit you for the last five games. So, again, if you're a Colts fan, it sounds terrible, but at this point, you might as well tank out the season, set your quarterback, and hope for the best next season.
Well, KU and K-State are going to sit out this weekend.
KU won't lose.
It's a good week for the Jayhawks. It's idle week for both of them, as it is with Benedictine. There are some really good games like Penn State at Iowa. And I know you're a Big Ten kind of a guy.
I'm thrilled about the Big Ten. But yeah, Penn State, Iowa, 3-4. Iowa, a 3-point favorite. But again, Penn State looked really good last week.
Yep, you've got Oklahoma, Texas, the Red River rivalry. And I have to slow down to get that all out.
And they're playing at the Cotton Bowl.
And they're playing at the Cotton Bowl, not at AT&T, but they're actually playing at the Cotton Bowl. So, should be a good game, but can't imagine Oklahoma doesn't win by two or three scores. Spencer Rattler's going to have a good game, I think.
Again, Texas 21 just because of the name. I mean, nobody really believes in Texas right now.
I believe in Arkansas. They're number 13, and they're going to be at Ole Miss, a team that I've always been sentimentally favored, you know, liked a lot because of, you know, some of the players who've come out of there. But I think Arkansas has no trouble in that Saturday morning game. Georgia, another sentimental favorite of mine. Love the Bulldogs, and they're at 18 Auburn. I've always been a fan of both of these, but Georgia is too strong.
Yeah, UGA, 15.5-point favorite in that ball game. And then ABC could have done better on the Saturday night game.
You know, you say that, and yet all of my text friends are going to Memorial Stadium, and they pick the Huskers to win. But when is a Husker fan never pick the Huskers?
I don't say it doesn't happen very often. Hey, real quick before we get out of here, do you know there's still baseball being played?
I watched last night baseball.
I kind of thought it ended in July, and then all of a sudden I saw there was a game on last night. I watched a little bit of it and wanted to cry when it was all said and done.
It was an incredible finish.
It was a fun game to watch. And now, the field is set. So games going on today, White Sox, Astros, and then you have Red Sox, Rays. How about that? The Red Sox, Yankees played the other night in a great game. Then the games tomorrow will have White Sox, Astros, Braves, Brewers, Red Sox, Rays, and the Dodgers, who knock off St. Louis last night. How about this? The Dodgers won 106 games this year and had to play a one-game wild card. That's what drives me crazy about baseball. You play 162, you win 106 of them, and it's not good enough to really get you into the playoffs. It's like, hey, we'll let you play one more night to see if you're good enough.
In.
Right. So it'll be the 106-win Dodgers against the 107-win Giants, two teams in the same division.
Incredible. Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of sports going on. And again, pick out your high school team. We're going to be Friday night at Morehill Academy. It'll be Ravens at home for homecoming. I want to thank you for having joined us. Also want to thank our great sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Exchange Bank, Taco John's, and Gerber Electric. Till we greet you next time, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody!